This is the Washoe County Advisory Board to Manage Wildlife. Today is Thursday, May 7, 2015.
Let's do Pledge Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, number two.
Okay, Miles Humphreys.
Here.
Sean Shea.
Here.
Kathy Smith.
Here.
William Tamblyn.
Here.
Michelle Spencer is absent this evening. We do have a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Going to number, agenda number three, public comment. If anybody has anything to say about anything on the agenda or off the agenda, come up. Okay, not seeing any public comment, we'll close this item agenda number three. We'll go on to item agenda number four, approval of the March 12, 2015 minutes. Take it out to the public. Not seeing any, we'll bring it back. Does anybody have any issues with it? You? Not? I didn't either.
Time will make a motion that the minutes be approved as submitted.
Second.
Smith. Yeah. That's all right. I still do it. Okay.
Can I call the question before you move on?
Yeah.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Which
I was just getting ready to.
Oh.
Okay. Cool. Thank you. Okay. All in favor of the approval of the March 12th, 2015 minutes as written? Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Everybody opposed, say nay. 4-0. Agenda item number five, board member meeting assignment, a discussion and selection of members to attend the Nevada Board of Wildlife Commissioners meeting on the 15th and 16th of May in Reno, and the June 19th and 20th meeting in, that should be Eureka, not Reno, so everybody knows. And then, also, actually, I wanted to mention, too, that there is, next week, there is a couple committee meetings, too, that are on Thursday, just so everybody knows. One's the Wildlife Damage Management Committee meeting, and that's at 2:30 next Thursday here. And then there's a meeting at 5:30 next Thursday, too, which is the Heritage Committee meeting. Just so heads up for everybody. I'm going to go to the 15th and 16th meeting in Reno, and I'll go to the June 19th and 20th meeting in Eureka. So if anybody else wants to go, they're more than welcome to go to the Reno one.
I'll go with you.
To the Reno one?
No, the June one.
Yeah. Oh. I had off the 8th and 9th, so when the meeting was switched, I didn't have to work the 15th and 16th. So.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay. No, that's fine. That's why I said I'll go. Cause
okay. I'm not really now. We're talking. What was Kathy going to do?
She was just saying, because it was changed, she was going to go, but now she can't. She's
okay. Working.
So I'm going to go the May 15th and 16th
as
here
well
in Reno.
As the June meetings.
And as well as the June meetings.
Okay.
So.
And William, Mr. Tamblyn's going to go with him to the June meetings.
Yeah, he said he wanted to go too.
One or both days, sir.
Pardon me?
One or both days?
Can't hear you.
Both days?
On June?
Yeah.
In Eureka?
Both days.
Thank you.
Too far to drive back.
Okay.
And, okay. I think we can go on to number six now. Committee member and liaison updates, correspondence, announcements, overview of the February and March 2000 or
2000.
Could we
leave an extra month
in there? Yeah, we left an extra month in there. I think so.
If I need a proofreader.
Yeah. That, well, actually, the last one was for us. Was,
well, the last one was April.
So that was.
But that was that. The legislative one. So yeah. We didn't set up, so. But. Didn't, actually, for correspondence, so I did get two things of correspondence. One of them doesn't, is actually a little premature. It deals with the projects for the heritage stuff, so that won't even be discussed until Thursday in the committee. So that's a little, that one was a little early. And the other one, I'll bring it up when it comes into the bighorn sheep quotas. That's what it's set up. So, anybody have anything else?
No.
Anything? Okay. We'll go on to agenda item number 7.
Did you have any overview of the March 2021 meetings?
I didn't. I can't remember, to be honest with you, what it was. It was.
I mean, I can go over what was approved. I mean, it was kind of as anticipated.
Yeah. There was nothing that really stood out to me.
No, the, obviously the the Wildlife Damage Committee is meeting again for the president.
That was early, huh?
Nothing different. So, we'll go on to number agenda item number 7. This was a change of meeting day and time for this. It's just a review. We want to discuss changing the time of this meeting from 6 p.m. on a Thursday before the week before to either 2 or 3 p.m. on the Friday the week before the commission meeting. So. I'll take out of the public if anybody has anything to say.
Rex Flowers speaking on behalf of myself. As a former CAB member, I can tell you that with most people, Fridays and Mondays are very bad days of the week to have meetings. I also feel that by changing the time of your meeting to a mid-afternoon from an evening, you are going to restrict the ability of CAB membership for those that are working individuals. You'll also be taken away from the public input process, as many of our public work for a living and therefore they don't get off until 4:35 in the afternoon. I think that it would be a bad way to go. No other CAB meets mid-afternoon. And this is the reason, basically because of public input. Thank you.
Anybody else? Not seeing. I'll bring it back to the board. Actually, I'd just like to... why I put this on there a little bit, just to give a little thing. I had 5 things that I could really think about. Giving the board an extra day is, I've found that we get stuff from Endow kind of late, and sometimes making that agenda that 3 days before to make the open meeting law has been close. So I think giving this that extra day would just be a little easier. Also, it would be during the working hours where I think Endow employees, we could have biologists here, we could have everybody here. There's no excuse for them not to be here. I mean, so you guys probably don't get overtime. So this way, I mean, you still get paid to help us if we have questions and stuff. And I was thinking, we only have 7 meetings a year, so I mean, it's not like it's every week or every month or something like that. And then
Also, the DA mentioned that she'd like to start coming, so I figure midday would be maybe easier for her to show up towards the end of the week and just be a little easier than staying out on Thursdays. And then and we get an extra day to get support material and all that. Like I said, I didn't get all the support material until 1:30 this afternoon. All the stuff, I had it that I printed off, but I didn't get it until 1:30 this afternoon in the mail. So it was just a couple things that I thought I'd like to discuss about it, see what everybody thinks about it. So, anything to say about
it? I'm lucky. I can be here on Thursday or Friday. The time won't make any difference. I'll support your Friday.
Well, I actually probably would have difficulty having off this many Fridays. And I do think it would limit future CAB members. I see your points. I mean, I understand them.
Uh-huh.
I would be limited. In fact, I probably wouldn't be able to show up at the remaining meetings. It's so difficult to get coverage on Fridays.
Well, I mean, 2 or 3, like I said, we just threw that out there.
Mm-hmm.
It could be 4 o'clock on Friday. We're just throwing different times out just to give us something to talk about. So,
I mean, I'm usually stuck working till 5 or 5:30 today, but I mean, ideally, I would like it to be in the same week as the commission meeting, so you don't have 2 separate weeks. But that's, you know, neither here nor there. I mean, I can go either way.
Rex brought up a good point. I see your views. I think that they're valid, and they might create a little bit of positive, you know, things to bring forth. But on the negative side, Fridays are hugely bad for everybody's work day, and everybody, the last thing they want to do is give up their Friday evenings heading into a weekend when most people's weekends are usually pretty busy as it is their off time. I personally would probably struggle on a Friday afternoon because Mondays and Fridays, like Rick said, are very busy. And I think we have limited people that do come to the CAB meetings already, therefore let's not try to make it that much more difficult for them by putting it during work hours. I think it would be more beneficial to have as many people given the opportunity to attend our meetings with their public input, and the only way that's really valuable for them would be after regular work hours. So that's my personal opinion.
You know, I took that into account, but then I look, we got quota setting, and look how many people are here. This is a lot for our meetings lately. Most of the time we have nobody here, and it's kind of an insult, I think, to us that no one comes. And I guess it just really upsets me. And I figured, we did this, you know, we're still going to get the same people that really care, and there's a certain amount they do that are going to show up. If they want something to question on, they're going to show up. Doesn't matter what time it is. And like I said, I was just looking to change this up, so I thought I'd throw it on there and see what people have to say. So all we can do is take a vote on it. And then Michelle actually emailed me on this, and she was in favor of the 3 o'clock on a Friday. She said she could deal with that, so I just thought I'd throw that out there. All we can do is take a vote on it and go from there. And then there's pluses and negatives on both sides of how Thursday nights or Friday during the day, plus or minus. So let's take a vote on it. I say we accept the change of meeting day and time to from 6 p.m. on Thursday the week before to 3 p.m. on Fridays the week before, starting July 2015 meeting. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All in favor, say nay.
Nay.
Abstain.
Can't get out of one way or the other.
I'll go with Sean then and say aye. Make it 2-2.
So we're 2-2.
So the motion does not carry.
The motion doesn't carry. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You need a majority of the people who are here.
Okay. So then that's the end of that, right?
No agenda. Even with Kathy's email.
It's not here. Right. Right. So she's not here. Yeah. Michelle's not here. Okay. Well, that's what I wanted. It was a little discussion on it. So we're going to go to agenda item number 8. Commission Regulation 15-12, the 2015 big game quotas for the 2015-2016 season. It's an action item, so I'll bring it out to the public. If anybody has anything to do right off the bat, we're gonna break it into species, and we'll go through that. So if anybody's got anything, just talk beforehand, come up and say.
Can we have Endow's input on each species before we give public input?
Yeah, we're going to have public input on each species.
Okay.
So we'll have Endow. They got their little, whatever that thing is, that sheet, if they want an explanation sheet on species and stuff. So let's go to the first one. Find it real quick.
Could you guys get Chris Hampson, Department of Wildlife, Reno Game? Did you guys get the quota table that had the 2014 for comparison?
Yes.
Okay. We did have one change, just for your guys' knowledge, on elk antlerless 4176.
What page is that?
I just have a copy, so I'm sorry. 4176.
4176?
No, elk 4176 muzzleloader hunt.
Page 14.
Thank you. I just have a copy of the page.
4176. Okay.
So in 2014 quotas for 113, it was actually 7 tags in 2014 to compare to in 113. The next one down was 25 in 2014. The next one down was 40 for 161 through 164. And then 37 and 221, 223 for 2014. So those four changes.
So
when you're comparing left to right, or right to left.
For 221 through 223, instead of 40, it should be what?
37.
Okay.
Okay, and 161, just to go over it again, 7 for 113 in 2014, 25 for 114 and 115, 40 in 161 through 164, and 37 and 221, 223. And that's just compared from the previous year.
Okay.
So you want to go through a quick statewide and then jump into our local Washoe County stuff and stuff like we usually do, or what would you prefer?
Well, I'd just start with antelope.
Yeah.
Just give me something like antelope.
But I mean, per species, though, you want to
go
statewide,
yeah.
Then jump into antelope.
Yeah.
Local.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. In 2014, we sold a total of 3,954 tags. That was a 3.7% increase over 2013. Doe tags, we sold 980 of them in 15 different hunt unit groups. That represented a 29% increase in the number of female tags available this past year. For harvest, we had 1,747 bucks and 543 does harvested last year. And for draws, just real quick, our buck antelope hunt averaged, resident rifle buck hunt, antelope hunt averaged a 6-1 odd, while the doe hunts averaged 3-1, just the overall average. A little bit of quality information, 27% of the bucks harvested during last year had a horn length of 15 inches or over. So that's not too bad compared to the previous year, was 24% in 2013. So slight increase from the previous year, not too bad considering the droughts that we've had. So, the average average buck ratio was 34 statewide. Average fawn recruitment was 35. Talked about the drought. Our report that we do for an annual report, just a general report on antelope, talks about our drought and the things we'll get into a little bit more later. Statewide estimate for pronghorn is up to, is 28,500, and that's a 4% increase overall compared to 27.5. So we are showing overall statewide a slight increase in antelope. Now from our right back to the quarters for our local herd. The big deal here in the northwestern part of the state is, of course, what they're calling extreme and severe. Exceptional and severe, I think they label them. It really has impacted us quite a bit over the last few years. And mainly this year what you're seeing and last year what you saw and even the year before that is water availability. Water sources drying up. We actually got quite a bit of rain through the, even in, during the third day of the rifle season, antelope rifle season, all the way through the winter. Everything was a warm storm and dropped rain instead of snow. Most of our snowtail sites had zero snowfall this year throughout northwestern Nevada. So that's what really recharges your strength. And I've never seen it so dry. Major tables, completely dry. 015, very little water up there. You go up there to survey and the antelope are gone. Our hunters are doing the same thing. They're traditional hunters. They're going to the summer range. Excuse me, my throat. And they're not finding anything. And that's because these antelope have fallen off down into the canyons where the drought is less impacted down in those deeper canyons or where the runoff of any water we do get goes. And so, really think about North Washoe County. You're talking a lot of tables, flat plateau country that are very exposed to dry conditions and lack of water. And they also don't hold on to the weather systems that come through, and so they don't get as much precipitation. So really, really serious water availability issues. We got the rainfall, so the vegetative condition is okay. We've had green up since probably September, October, all the way through the winter. There's been green up from the top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain. And of course, what does that do with the animals? They can spread out and go anywhere they want. And that's what we're seeing. So the hardest hit units and some of those that our harvest has been struggling. We were more conservative this year based on this drought conditions we're having or water availability issues. And so you'll see that when we go through the quotas for each unit or whatever. So you'll see a drop in 011, pretty significant drop. Similar tags in 12, 13, 14. Yes, there's some drought issues. One of the things I think that Sean, you noticed, you mentioned to me, a couple units out of that unit group are doing actually better than one other. 013, which is usually typically our best, one of our best units for harvest, actually was the one that was in the toilet this year. 012 harvest was good. 014 was pretty good too. So that one we kind of kept very similar to last year. Actually showed a little bit of an increase. 015, that was the other unit. Like I said, we've really struggled in 015 for antelope, and that is really drought issues. The only areas we can find concentrations of antelope under these conditions are in burns. And I think Sean mentioned that he'd been out and saw a lot of antelope in these burns that happened last year. So, thank you. Anyway, so in those units where we've been struggling in harvest is the most mostly in 011, 013, and 015. Those are units that you'll see that we brought it back a bit. The Sheldon has come down just a few tags. There are serious issues on the Sheldon with water too. Fortunately, though, we do have a good buck segment up there. There are a lot of bucks spread out over that whole Sheldon. We did see something very unusual this year when we went to survey the west side of the Sheldon on the Little Sheldon.
there was like 50 antelope there, where there's normally about 600 to 700 and running in every direction. This year there was 50 antelope on the Little Sheldon after the season. I ended up taking some more fuel on, and we went and found them, and they were actually in Oregon. They went about 20 to 25 miles north, and in Oregon it was pretty amazing, the pond after pond after pond of full water. So that weather systems come right there at the very northern end of the Nevada-Oregon border, and they got plenty of water up there, but just 20 miles south into Nevada, very dry conditions. So that kind of just kind of stresses the drought implications we're having. You'll see us being more conservative in those units we're most concerned about. So if you highlight any changes are highlighted in bold.
Right.
As always.
And just so people know that 32, 34, 35, that used to be all one group. So that's why that number looks so drastic, because they split 35 from that. Just so.
Correct.
So people don't see that huge.
153, yeah.
So. Okay. Well, let's take it out to the public on antelope. If anybody has any things to talk about antelope.
Do we want to just mention what those quota reductions are? Do you want me to get into that, or do you want to just... I'm not sure they know, but...
Well, if they have the... They can pull up the quota recommendations. They can. So if they have any questions, they should pull it up to know.
Okay.
So I'll bring it back to the board. This is for antelope, so we'll go through the first one. So antelope horns longer than ears. Any legal weapon. So do anybody have any questions on that?
No.
Okay. Did
he explain it out of this? You know. Well, I did have one question. How in Area 15, the burn, now, how much of an impact did that burn have as far as your guys' overall total number?
You know, that's a really good question. 300,000 acres in California, 50,000 or so acres on the Nevada side. So it was a huge, I think it was California's second largest wildfire ever. Okay, so where it would have impacted us, you know, not so much from killing them directly because of the fire, because they'll usually be able to get out and get ahead of that stuff. But like Sean saw in 012 this year, it will draw animals into it. And so those animals that are along the California-Nevada border in 015, there very well could be quite a few antelope on that burn, on that big 300,000 acre burn on the California-Nevada border on the California side. So it's another reason we were being a little bit more conservative in our quotas this year, is we have seen these, just telling you, I've never seen it, these distribution changes of our antelope and deer and everybody because of the water situation, and then those burns last 2 years really attract antelope.
Thank you.
Does anybody want to make a motion on the first one here?
Sure. Kathy Smith, I'll make a motion that we accept the department recommendations for the antelope horns longer than ears and illegal weapon at 2151.
I'll second it. Miles, one first.
Actually, we might as well just do the non-resident one. Well, you should actually know what we should do is resident and non-resident at the same time of the horns longer than ears.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Just keep the rifle together. If that makes sense. So it'd be
2151 and 21.
2251.
2251.
Just the next. There it is.
Okay.
The resident and non-resident full rifle or any legal weapon, so just keep them both the same.
So just withdraw my motion. Okay, I withdraw my motion, sorry. And make a second motion that we accept the department.
Did second withdraw them?
Yes.
Make a recommendation that we accept the department recommendations for antelope horns longer than ears, any legal weapon hunt 2151 and 2251, resident and non-resident.
I'll second that, Sean Shea.
Let's go on to...
No, we're not going on.
To, so, and everybody in favor of that, say aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.
Everybody opposed, say nay. Sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. We have a lot to do here. Yeah, because there's not that many.
So you're doing each hunt by species, right?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're keeping track on that, but make sure you do motion second and call question.
Okay.
So it keeps Jen happy.
Oh, I know.
She puts my arm.
Okay, we'll go on to resident antelope. Horns longer than ears, muzzleloader hunt, and I believe there's no non-resident hunt for this, so it's just a single. So, if anybody wants to make a motion on that.
Okay, Member Smith, I'll make a motion that we accept the department recommendations for antelope horns longer than ears, muzzleloader hunt 2171.
Second.
All in favor of that motion, say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, say nay.
Passes.
Okay. Next one will be resident antelope horns longer than ears, the archery hunt, and the same for non-residents.
What's the hunt?
I'm sorry. 2161 and...
2171.
Okay. Yeah.
2261.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said the last one.
Sorry. So, no, for this next one. Okay. The archery hunt is 2161.
Yes.
Okay. Makes it easier for me to. 2261. I have something here somewhere. Public comment by each other.
No, I'll take a public comment right now.
2261 would be the archery non-resident, too.
Yeah, so they're both the same, 2261.
2161 and 2261.
2161 and 2261. Oh, right, sorry.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I saw that in 61. So. I'll make a motion that we accept resident antelope horns longer than ears, archery hunt 2161, and non-resident antelope horns longer than ears, archery hunt 2261.
Smith, second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay. 4-0. Okay. So, the next one. Next one will be resident antelope horn shorter than ears, any legal weapon, hunt 2181.
I'll make a motion that we accept resident antelope horn shorter than ears, any legal weapon hunt 2181 as written.
I'll second that. Sean, say. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. Go on to Desert Bighorn Sheep. And this is where, actually, we'll go through each one of these just because I got a correspondence on this. So when we get to that correspondence, actually, you know what? I'll read the correspondence right now since we're going to start Desert. Kind of a mix of both. This was from NBU. And so the NBU Reno opposes the ewe hunts being proposed in areas 068 and 253. They said they feel a trap and transplant are most appropriate methods of reducing population densities, specifically in 068. And they are talking about how they would fund the transplant or the moving of these things and stuff. Is there anybody here from NBU? No? Okay. It was just to show you that they're not in favor of the U hunts for those two units. So we'll go to you before we take it to the public.
Okay, so the report this year on deserts is about a page and a half, so I'm going to try to condense that down really quickly. Just real quick, we sold 287 tags in 2014 compared to 275 in 2013, so that's about a 14-tag increase from the previous year. Hunter success, of course, remains strong at 89% compared to 91%, so barely any difference between the last 2 years. Hunters average about 4.6 days in the field, compared to about a 6 days in the field, 20-year average. So from the long-term average, they're actually taking less time to hunt their and harvest their rams. Average age, which is always something pretty important for our management, their harvested ram age average this year for deserts was 6.4, compared to the 10-year average of 6.5, so it's right on. We've managed for 6.4. Try to get it six years of age as a management objective on age. Our average score from this year was 152 2/8 on total on all the harvested rams for deserts. Just a slight decline from 153 5/8 last year, so about an 1 3/8 difference from the previous year. On a quality note, there were 11 170 B and C rams harvested from 9 different units statewide this past year. Not too shabby. Let's see. There were a total of 163 applicants for the 85 Desert Bighorn U tags. In 3 separate units, a total of 62 ewes were harvested with a 74% hunter success rate on our ewe hunts on an average.
Let me ask you something, just out of curiosity. Ewe hunts, how many people did not go? Did you get on their, had the tag but just did not hunt? Just out of curiosity. I can't say I saw that in there.
In the annual report.
Unless I just
let me see. Let me see. I think I know that was in some of the reports. Let me see if it's in here somewhere. Are you talking just the U hunt?
Yeah, just the U hunt.
Okay.
I know that was real controversial, so I was just curious.
Okay.
But I mean, it couldn't have been that many because you guys' success was pretty high. So.
Yeah, I don't see it listed in here real quick, but I mean, we could look it up in the back tables or something.
Oh, that's okay. It can't be that high. I was just kind of curious.
Yeah.
Head.
Just real quick, we'll look at statewide surveys real quick. We surveyed over 5,800 desert bighorns this year, which represents a pretty well from 4,200 last year. So we went up that 1,600 animals that we classified this year more than we did the previous year. Observed lamb ratios were about 33 over the whole state on average, compared to just 34 the previous year, so very similar to the previous year. The total desert bighorn population estimate is the highest documented since the major bighorn extirpation in the early 1900s. So our estimate increased from 8,900 last year of desert bighorns to 9,600 this year. So we're continuing to see an increase in our desert bighorn population growth. Pretty impressive, really. Once again, second only to the state of Oregon for number of bighorn or in the western United States or in there. So pretty impressive. That goes back to our big game trapping and transplanting program, obviously, over the years. So. This is a really good article. There's so much in here on disease and all the disease testing we do, which is a priority for us right now. I'd encourage everyone here to look all that up and read about what we're doing from a state standpoint on our disease testing, how important it is. And we're talking so many different units. We're really trying to get a statewide disease you know, assessment, really a really detailed disease assessment throughout our bighorn herds. And we're well on our way with the amount of work we're doing every year, catching bighorn and having them tested and doing all the lab work that we do and all that, plus all the collaring work and stuff. But there's several paragraphs, you know, about where we've had some disease issues. I don't want to go into all of them because we'd be talking for quite a while, because there's a lot in this report. But, you know, 253 was mentioned earlier. That is now positive for MOV. You know, that's a real shame. So there's a lot of disease-related work and issues. So if you're interested at all, please read that regional or a statewide report on desert bighorn. So it says a lot about what we're doing in a statewide, but it's just probably too much to go into too much detail tonight. We can look at the quotas if you want for deserts.
Let's take it out the public, see if they have anything.
Okay.
It's on desert bighorn, all desert bighorns. So if anybody has any questions, feel free to step up.
Rex Flower speaking for myself. Is this only on deserts, not Californians at this time?
Yeah, we'll do deserts right now.
Okay. On this 253 unit, of course, you got the letter from NBU requesting that you give the lowest amount of tags available, recommend the lowest amount of tags available. They'll pay to transplant them. I would like to mention to you that the department wants to give out 20 tags at a 74% success rate. You will remove 15 ewes. Those sheep are lambing at a rate of about 54 lambs per 100 ewes. So you'll be taking 23 sheep out of that unit. That unit's, I guess, at a max carrying capacity. If you suggest if you recommend to just take one ewe out of there and let MBU pay the fees to transplant, you'll transplant 19 ewes, 54 lambs per 100, is going to return you 30 sheep in another unit. And I think you need to give some thought to that. Thank you.
Anybody else? I'm not saying I'll bring it back to the board. Actually, you know what? I have some things. This 253, you know, I have an issue when they start testing positive and transplanting around the state. You know, I think NBU is a great organization. I think they've lost a little bit when we've got to put sheep on the mountain. We should keep sheep on the mountain. And I think when you transplant, testing positive, you don't know what you're doing. You know, MBU, they just wash their hands of it if nothing happens. It comes back at endow. You know, they are the ones that yelled at if there's a big die-off. And so I can't see transplanting. And then, go ahead, Chris.
Chris Hanson, Team Reno. They tested negative when we were moving the sheep in the last few years.
Right.
Only very recently did 253 test positive.
Right.
Okay.
But you got the bombing range sits right there. And,
right.
And from what I remember seeing, wasn't there one or two rams that were tested positive? Mm-hmm.
That's true.
And those sheep go back and forth to the bombing range.
Right.
I mean, and it just seems too easy. I mean, I have no problem hunting ewes. I mean, that shows, I think, end up, this is the biggest success story you can say. And people are going to cry and moan about it, but we got to do something with these sheep. I mean, there's only so many places you can put them. You can only add water, but if there's no food there, it's not going to help you. So I guess you just kind of stick them in a box, and I just don't like to see that. So. Anybody have any questions on?
68, has it also tested positive?
That's California's. So we're not California's yet.
Oh.
Over on deserts. Sorry.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, I shouldn't say that.
I didn't see that on here. So
yeah, sorry about that.
Okay.
So
okay.
We'll get to that one in a second. So does anybody else have any questions? Any discussion?
No.
Okay. No. We're just talking desert change.
Right. I'm gonna pass. have a lot of different thoughts going on.
Okay. I have one more thing on desert. So, for when I look at 181 and 183, okay. 181, you use up that quota by 3. Okay. And 53 rounds to 100 ewes you have in there, according to the book.
That's just from survey?
Yeah, just from survey. So I see in 183, you didn't up any of it, and you get 61 rams times by survey. And it seems to me, I mean, that seems pretty high, 61 rams per 100 ewes.
Actually, you know, if you're comparing survey data, we don't always pick up those ram groups. The actual ram ratios in most populations is closer in the 60s, even in the 70s on most of our bighorn populations in the state, if they've been there for a good amount of time. But that'll be about 70 rams is really pretty common on a 70 to 100 ratio for rams in all our populations, including those two. They've been around long enough where the rams have caught up to the ewes. Even though we'll go out and survey, we may only get 53 rams per 100 on our survey.
Right.
That's
right.
Just survey, not finding a couple ram groups that we could have and that kind of thing. So,
I guess I look at 181. 181's pretty open. So when you get its flight, I mean, it's pretty open.
It is. It isn't always about observability, especially near the bombing range out in Fallon.
Yeah.
They fly helicopter. I was there just the other day, and a helicopter flew right over my face. I mean, there's so much. I used to manage those units, so I know a lot about it.
Yeah, that's why.
And I'll tell you, we get, you know, on the Glen Alpines, I used to have to look as far in the distance as I possibly could to find sheep, because they're running as fast as they can away from us in the helicopter. As soon as they hear that helicopter noise, they're running. So a lot of the sheep in 181 and 183 that we miss are because they're running so far in front of us we don't see. If it's not dry conditions where we can pick up that dust on our surveys and actually pick them up, then, I mean, it can be really tough to chase these animals down because of the helicopter noise. So what we do is we fly really fast. Mm-hmm. So you have different strategies in different country, but that's how we catch up to them before they can get away from us or go run over the other hill or something like that.
I guess what I was curious about is, to me, it seems like you guys up that in 181, and 183 is pretty much almost the same thing, and you kept it the same this year. And it seems to me, if it was me, which I think I might recommend, is I might go up to 13. I'd add two more tags in there. Since
in 183?
In 183. Mm-hmm. And I've been in there, and there's a ton of rams in there.
There is. And Jason Salisbury, I'd give him a little nod here. He is the most liberal tag giver in our agency. He's been through die-offs. He knows what it's about. He likes to see those rams taken opportunity by our hunters. He's getting record samples. If you looked at the composition data, he's getting record samples in all those units in Churchill County. They're really doing amazingly well. And if he could have given two more tags out, he would have. So if there's anybody that would have, there must have been some kind of reason for 183 not to. I think what it was is he's found more rams down in 181, down on Monte Cristo's, than he thought he had. So I think he must have come into a few more ram groups that he even didn't know about. Oh, I didn't know. You know, he was out looking around, scouting around too, and seeing some of the edge stuff, the stuff on the edge that he doesn't get to look at, and saw more sheep in there that he doesn't think he's been picking up on previous surveys. So I know he was more aggressive with 181 than 183 for those reasons. He's seeing more sheep, more rams, and more mature rams. Remember the formula that we used for bighorn. You know, it's 50% of it, this of 6 years and older, and 8% of the total ram population in the estimate.
Okay, I'm just curious.
He is a very aggressive guy on tag quotas. Yeah.
Well, does anybody want to make a recommendation for Resident Nelson Bighorn? Any ram hunt 3151?
Smith, I will recommend that we accept the department's recommendations for the resident desert bighorn sheep, any ram, any legal weapon hunt, 4151.
All right.
and non-resident 3252.
3251.
3251, sorry.
Did you
get that?
Come on, please, one second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Passes. What?
It just starts to grow. Okay. It's wine time. Hurry up. Let
me see. There you go. One of those things. So, the next one is resident Nelson Bighorn Sheep, any you, any legal weapon hunt, 3181. So, does anybody want to make a recommendation on that? I'll make a recommendation that we. I'm
making a motion.
Yeah. That we accept resident Nelson Bighorn Sheep, any you, any legal weapon hunt, 3181 as written.
Member Smith, I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Pass 4-0. Okay, going to California Bighorns.
Okay, real quick, 66 tags were issued for California Bighorn last year. Don't see how many were last year, so I don't have anything to compare that to. Okay. Let's see. We had two tag holders chose to return their tags. So that may have been where you saw that. I don't know. And they were returned too late to be reissued as alternates. Tag holders harvested 58 rams out of that 66 tags for an 88% hunter success rate. Averaged 6.1 days in the field to harvest their rams. And the average ram age was 7 years, 7.0. Once again, I said we managed for about six or tried to, and we've been very successful at that. And we're actually a year over that on our average harvest. There were also four rams harvested at age 11, so also shows that we have some older age class rams in the harvest. The Boone and Crockett average score was 153 and 1/8. And we only had one ram this past year with over 170 in our California Bighorn herds. Interesting. The number of applicants has continued to increase over time with a total of 5,932 applicants for the resident tags and 6,104 applicants for the non-resident tags. So I always like to look at that just because it gives you a feel for how much demand there are for these tags. I actually would have probably thought that the resident would have been a little higher, and I didn't think that many non-residents would have. So the first ewe hunt was initiated in 2014 in year 068. They had 15 tags, and 10 people harvested for a 67% success rate. There were 41 applicants just for this 068 ewe hunt this past year. We also moved sheep into 011 from the sheep creeks of 068 last year.
Say that again. You moved sheep from where?
The Sheep Creek Mountains north of Battle Mountain.
Okay.
Into the Massacre Rim in 011.
50. So you moved some from 68 into...
Right. In addition to having that ewe hunt in there. So it was kind of a combination. We removed 15,
okay,
and we also harvested 10 more. So the biologist over there is trying to reduce population levels and keep them within carrying capacity because of severe habitat conditions, deteriorated habitat conditions over there, related to drought and overutilization of the vegetation.
Okay. This brings up the other section in 068. Have they tested? They've been tested in
06, yes,
they're clean. So you can move.
066 to the north is the unit that's the problem.
Okay.
So, but just real quick, just finishing that up, we had some surveys and so forth. The average of those surveys was a 48 rams and 38
48 rams per 100 ewes to 38 lambs this year. Very similar to last year, which is 39 lambs. So really similar to recruitment compared to with last year. Our statewide estimate for California bighorns this year was 1,900, which showed a stable population trend with some individual herds declining while others are growing. So we have a little bit up and down. Some of our northwestern Nevada stuff we brought back down. Bottom line, we talk about a lot about the drought in this one, in this report. Also a lot more about our disease testing, all the disease-related issues in our California herds. We talk about the Santa Rosas in this report as well, and that's a unit where we've done a lot of collaring of rams, so we have the movement patterns down really well, which is probably more than we've done as far as ram collaring, other than maybe down in Vegas, but they've learned that they do travel north pretty good in that unit, just a north-south mountain range, so they just have to follow one. You know, they do move north and south pretty good. And unfortunately, we did have Oregon's next mountain range north of the Santa Rosas test positive for MOV, as did the Santa Rosas. So that's just one part of the report that talks about all the disease surveillance that we're doing and our testing and stuff. So there's a lot of information in these reports. One of the more exciting ones we're doing now, we're having a collaborative study with Washington State University, Idaho Department of Fish and Game, and South Dakota State University to study if ewes that were once infected and that they remain chronic carriers of that MOV are infecting their lambs and when they're infecting their lambs. They're trying to figure out all that. But it's a multi-year project involving the study of lamb survival in ewe groups comprised of animals with varying MOV shedding status. So how the ewes pass on the disease to their lambs, when they do it, they're gonna set up a bunch of different pens, probably different distances and all kinds of different things to really figure out how the disease is transmitted, not only to other sheep, but from the ewes to the lambs and when and all that stuff. But it's a really They also took sheep out of that snowstorms, Unit 066, sent them to the South Dakota State University to study that. And so that's another research project or study we're doing on diseases of our bighorn herd. So with other universities and agencies. So, but a lot of that's listed in there. Like I mentioned earlier, we did bring in some sheep into 011 this past year. Unfortunately, we had some issues with that. About December, we let them go early December by before Christmas, just about 2 weeks into. 2 weeks later, we had some lion predation issues. Three of the collared sheep, there were five collared sheep that were killed by lions in about a couple week period or so, maybe a 3 week period there, but two or three of them were on the Sheldon, and two of them were just to the south of the Sheldon. You know, as you guys know, we've had Wildlife Services in there for a few years trying to take care of some of those lions, and I know, Sean, you've been working some of that country as well. After that, and since then, we haven't had any issues. It was almost like, you know, some lions kind of found these sheep, and of course, they're naive sheep, having just been transplanted. Now, granted, some of those sheep were also previous releases, like out of the Coleman or the previous release on Massacre Bench. But those sheep have been there just a few years. But they took, I think, two of the sheep that were killed by lions were brand new sheep to it that we just released a few weeks prior, and then three others were from the Coleman release or the Massacre release, and they were all scattered out. It wasn't, two of them were on the Little Sheldon on the west slope, one kind of on the north end of that Little Sheldon, and one on the east, on the south end, and then the others were scattered out. One was clear over on Guano Rim, another one was over on Bittner Table to the east on public lands. Most of these ewes were by themselves with collars, no other bighorn tracks around. I think if they do that when they're first released and so forth,
they can be a little bit more vulnerable to predation as well if they're running off by themselves. And, you know, that's not all of them. All, you know, some sheep do stick together, obviously. But if they do happen to go off by themselves, I think they're a lot more vulnerable to lion predation when they're off by themselves. So, so just wanted to let you know that we did have some issues with our last release there. Lion, all five were determined to be lion predation.
Let me ask you something. What? So, could 0011 use those ewes that you guys are throwing for a quota out of 068?
Did they what now?
Could so, they?
Could 011? We took 15, okay, and we put them in 011 right on.
No, what I mean is those 10 you guys are, can 011 take those 10 right now?
No. The reason, okay, and that's a good question. I'm glad you reminded me to mention that. There's a few things, well, not for Cherry Mountain. We just checked again today, and I was after them all last week and the week before as well, but we just heard from BLM. On that Cherry Mountain release, once it was approved by BLM, they received a protest from one of the local domestic sheep operators. Once that happens, it has to be sent to IBLA, which is the court that decides on protests for BLM. It can take as much as a year. That was many, many months ago, and we still have not heard a decision. So we do not currently have clearance by BLM until they hear from their court about the Cherry Mountain Bighorn release. In northwestern Nevada, the other thing that I would mention is that the drought conditions are severe enough right now, with as many water sources that were dry last year, and then more will go dry this year, that I don't believe that would be a wise move to move animals into an area than, you know, when our summers were drying up so badly. I think the habitat conditions and the water availability issues that we have in northwestern Nevada, I would not recommend until we can get a winter where our springs are running back to at least average again, and our habitat and our springs are all flowing like they should be.
Okay. Well, I'll take it out to the public. Anybody has anything to say? Rex.
Rex Flowers speaking on behalf of myself. Actually, just threw a wrench into it because it's my understanding Cherry Mountain was supposed to have a guzzler build this weekend or the following weekend, and they could use sheep in there. I don't understand why we couldn't put a few more sheep back up on Coleman or over towards Hayes. Again, you know, you're looking at, they dropped the quota in there for this year to 10 from 15. I mean, you're only going to remove 7 sheep. Those sheep are lambing at 30 to 100 ewes. So you're only going to take 9 animals out of that population segment that is at a maximum carrying capacity. If you recommend 1 tag, those other 9 sheep should be able to be moved someplace. They're disease-free. And 9 sheep, 67% success rate, 30 lambs per 100 ewes. That would give us 12 more sheep in another area. Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Anybody? Anything to say? Don't hold it in.
On California.
California's. We're talking California's.
With the ewes as well.
But no, let's do the rams. Let's do the rams. We'll get that over there.
With the rams, nothing.
Is there anywhere to move them that you know of?
I would, like I said, my recommendation as a biologist for the unit, I have literally never seen such serious water availability issues. Massacre Bench, 011, completely dry except for one water hole. And that was dry last year, and I was hoping that rain might do something. Didn't do a thing. This spring, we're flying sage grouse and deer in there. Every one of those springs, there was a couple that had just a teeny little bit of water right at the very source, but they'll be dry in another month if we stay dry. I'm worried about our sheep that we have transplanted in there recently, they're going to move off just going searching for. Now, granted, there's no issues from domestic sheep up there and stuff like that, but when you're trying to imprint animals to an area, you need that habitat to be in good shape so that they'll stay where you want them. If they end up on the Sheldon, let's say we go put them somewhere that they want us to do, and then they go move off to another unit because that's where the water is, then we've just wasted all our effort that we're trying to imprint animals into an area. So it doesn't make sense if you have water limitation issues to put sheep in an area when there's very little water or resources for them.
Thank you.
Butch, anything?
No, nothing.
Okay. Let's see if anybody wants to make a motion. I'll make a motion that we approve resident California bighorn sheep Andy Ram hunt 8151 and hunt 8251 for the non-residents. As read. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed, say nay. We'll go into the. If anybody has anything to say on the resident, you hunt 8181. Did you have something on that?
So we are putting the guzzler, or NBU's putting the guzzler in.
Absolutely, on the 16th, 17th. If anyone wants to come out and help, we're very excited about these two guzzlers. Remember, they're called big game guzzlers. They're not just sheep guzzlers, even though, admittedly, when we designed those guzzlers, we were thinking about sheep, but we also had an antelope one up there. I mean, a mule deer guzzler in those four that we cleared for Cherry Mountain. Cherry Mountain is a very dry area. It's probably one, as you know, probably. It's a really dry area compared to even like Hayes Canyon or even a little better or worse off than Boulder Mountain. So, you know, we're very excited about putting these in there. It's going to help sage grouse, antelope, mule deer. All our critters on Cherry Mountain are going to benefit.
The sheep use the big game guzzlers more than most of the other big game, correct?
It kind of depends. I mean, we didn't get. I mean, I have guzzlers where mule deer use the heck out of them. I have areas where you see more bighorn use them. Antelope use the heck out of. Big game guzzlers. Right now, we just put those two on Hayes Canyon last year. Antelope are using the heck out of those two guzzlers right now. We put them in for sheep. You know, it was sheep management there, but they're in a place where antelope can really use them, and they are. We haven't seen sheep on them yet. Sometimes it takes sheep a while. They're a little more skittish on getting used to getting in and using guzzlers if they're not used to guzzlers already. Like if you're transplanting sheep from one area to the other, if there's sheep that came off of a guzzler, then they're going to use guzzler. But if they haven't, they've always used water, natural water sources, and you put them in there, they probably won't use guzzlers for a while until they A, have to, or B, they get used to the fence and how to use that guzzler. It can take years, though, at times.
Butch?
No.
Okay. Somebody want to make a motion?
This is concerning 8181, right?
Yes.
Smith, I'll make a motion that we approve the department recommendations of California bighorn sheep in EU. Any legal weapon hunt 8181.
Shea, second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Okay. Next one, we'll go resident Rocky Mountain Bighorns, 9151 for Rockies.
Okay. I'll try to go a little faster. I get the hints. We only had five tags for Rocky Mountain last year, two fewer than in 2013. Four out of the five bighorn Rocky Mountain bighorn tag holders were successful. Average age was 7 years.
What did you have last year? Shows only three.
Oh, really? Because it says five in our report, so.
Three.
Is there only three last year? But maybe that got cleared down.
Three.
Huh?
They said the quota is three.
Oh, no, that this year, yes?
No, 2014, it says the quota was three.
Okay. This report says five. Sorry, I'm reading the regional.
Also, then this is wrong.
Probably. Well, you might have caught another typo. Let me just look real quick.
I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
Oh, because you had some 074s, didn't you?
Maybe that probably includes. No,
you
doesn't.
Had some 074s last year. That's why it's not.
That's what it is. Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. Good point.
Sorry.
There was two in there, right? Yep. So it was five total.
Right.
Good.
Okay.
Good catch. Okay, so the average age of those harvested rams, the four, was seven. The average days hunted was 12 days, which was a little bit harder. Hunting, the long-term average was only five. So those guys had to work a little harder last year to get their rams. With that warm weather, some of those units, you're depending on cold and snow to get those animals to come down off. Like, for example, over on the park on eastern Nevada, those hunters are usually waiting for the snow levels to bring those sheep down to public land hunting. So, just real quick on demand for residents, Rocky Mountain Bighorn tags is extremely high with 4,100 applicants this past year. In addition to 2,800 applicants who purchased a bonus point just for Rocky Mountain Bighorn. Looks like our Rocky Mountain herds pretty kind of a complex deal going on here. We have some herds that are continuing to struggle with disease-related issues and having low lamb recruitment. We are having some, though, even the ones there on the East Humboldt Range that we just moved in from Canada, they're doing very well so far, even though that herd, that area had some real disease issues and a die-off here just shortly. So far, those ewes are producing lambs at a pretty high rate. So we're watching that very closely. They're doing some studies over there as well, and they talk about that in the report as well. So we do have a die-off going on, we believe, in Unit 074. That's why you do not see it listed in this year's harvest or tag quotas. Looks to be pretty serious, and so we're really looking into that as we speak. I haven't heard anything myself on the most recent information, but other than the fact that, you know, it could be a serious one. Other testing, like I said, there's a lot of disease testing information in here that if anybody's interested, please read, because there's a lot of good information about what we're doing for disease-related issues. But I'll leave that.
Let me ask you something real quick. These books,
yeah.
Can the public buy those?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to make sure so people know. Okay.
Yeah, they're available to be purchased. No?
I don't think we have them in print. I think they're only available online.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
We
okay.
used to sell them, though.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Well, there we go.
Specific report are you actually talking about here? So we know what to look for.
Big game pass.
And like they just mentioned, it is available for everyone to view online.
Okay. Sorry.
Well, you get information.
Good. Rather
so that's pretty much it. I mean, there's some other stuff, but we can move on to to Rocky Mountain.
I'll make a motion.
Let's take out the public. Anybody for Rockies? Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Anybody have any discussion on it?
Okay. I'll make a motion that we accept resident Rocky Mountain Bighorn sheep, any ram, any legal weapon hunt 9151 as written.
Smith, second.
All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed say nay. Okay, going to resident mountain goat.
Okay, real quick, there were 12 mountain goat tags issued last year, an increase from 7 in 2013, so we showed a pretty good increase of 5 tags. Been very conservative with our mountain goat tags because of disease-related issues and concerns the last few years. We're starting to see some really good adult survival, and some of our surveys have backed us up on that. So we're pretty confident that we can once again increase mountain goat tags in the Rubies and elsewhere.
So that's what our surveys have shown us, and we did a lot of disease testing again. Tons of work being done up there on these both the bighorn and the mountain goats that live in the same area on the East Humboldts and the Ruby Mountains. So we're paying close attention to all of that. Talk a little bit about harvest from the different units. We only had three of the 12 that were harvested were nannies, so 25%. We had 12 harvested with the 12 tag holders, and then only three of those were nannies. So that was pretty encouraging, too. So we watched that really closely because it's one of the things that you have to really pay attention to. You don't want to start killing too many nannies because they are so hard to tell the difference, and we... But one of the cool things I thought reading this report is they did, I think they did come up with a online health tool, much like our bighorn indoctrination that we give or whatever. So that'll help, I think, with that. Talks about survey data, but basically we're still very concerned with these populations because the kids, we're just not seeing the recruitment at all. Interesting, it kind of goes from the north to the south, gets worse, you know, worse in the north in the east Humboldts, south into 101 and 102 and stuff. But 103, the furthest south unit, had better recruitment, 25% or 25 kids per nanny, so 100 nannies. So it's a little bit better down on that very south end. So we are watching and seeing if that's related to disease-related issues or not. And obviously the low kid survival is related to disease. So all that's the kind of stuff that they're really paying attention to up there. So okay. I think there still are concerns for some of those mountain goat herds, though, with that disease-related issue. So.
Okay. Take it to the public if anybody has anything to say. Not saying, we'll bring it back to the board. Anybody have anything?
Tam will make a motion that we accept the mountain goat, any goat, and the Nigga Weapon, 7151.
Shea will second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay. Let's take a break for 5 minutes. Back at okay, we'll get on.
Okay, we're going to kind of skim over things a little bit, I think, just to kind of try to hurry this process up just a little bit. But elk are continuing to do well, as we know. We're always trying to keep them under those levels that we've agreed to, population levels in the management plans. So everything that we do with elk is pretty much how can we harvest more elk to try to keep within those limits. And I think Mike sent you a copy of this explanations, and so he just mentioned about some of the changes. A few of the Northwestern unit groups have lower recommended, the record elk harvest in 2014 is resulting in slight reductions in recommended bull and cow elk quotas for some of the herds. The addition of two new unit groups having antlerless elk management hunts, one new unit with a cow elk wilderness only hunt, and quota increases for unit groups with existing antlerless elk management hunts is the primary reason for a statewide 13% increase in recommended antlerless tags. So they've added units, the elk wilderness stuff, and adding more antlerless elk management hunts. So the statewide bull elk quota is only increasing by 1%, primarily due to increased spike elk tags, which is also an effort to reduce harvest on mature bull segments. So all those things that we're trying to do with elk are all about trying to keep within our management goals. So go ahead.
Take it to the public. Does anybody have anything on elk? Go ahead, Rex.
Rex Flowers speaking on behalf of myself. Normally I wouldn't get into a different unit in a different county, but And 161 through 164, 171 through 173 early on the any legal weapon antler elk season. This year we're being given an opportunity to have a rut hunt in there. They're only issuing 8 tags, or they're only recommending 8 tags, and that's because I'm sure they feel they'll have 100% success. Last year that was a muzzleloader hunt. There was 22 tags issued for a 59% success rate. That was 13 elk were removed, 13 bulls. I would hope this board would recommend at least 10 bulls, 10 tags. That's only 2 more tags. I'd like to see it go to 15. That you look at the population base in there, they have 950 elk in their population estimate. Their new plan ceiling is for 850 elk, but they'll remove a number of elk through the antlerless hunts. But so, you know, to stay conservative yet afford a little more opportunity, since the population is there, I would like to go to at least 10 head. Thank you.
Is that all you had to say on all the elk?
That's
nothing
it.
Else? Okay. Anybody else have anything on elk at all? Doesn't matter, antlers, bulls, or anything, we're going to hit this at once. Okay, we'll bring it back to the board. Does anybody have any questions or anything? You did? Butch, you good?
No, I'm good.
Okay, well, I'm going to make a recommendation. I do like Rex's thing here, because I was thinking about that. So I'm going to hit all this at once, okay? So I'm going to give you the hunt numbers. And there's going to be a lot of them. So, okay, this is going to be for elk. So I make a motion that we accept 41 and hunt 44-1-1 with mule deer option 13-4-1.
13-41.
Yep.
Okay. Another
option. Yeah. Hunt 42-51. Hunt 42-56. Hunt 42-61. Hunt 42-81. With the exception on hunt 41-51 in unit 161 through 164, 171 through 173 early, changing that quota, the recommendation from 8 to 10. Do I have a second?
Smith, I'll second.
Okay, I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed say nay. Okay. Okay. Okay, I take that back. I got it. Sorry. There was some other option. There's mule deer options in here. There's two of them I forgot. I got ahead of myself. So, can I take that back? We're going to start again. Or can I just
second,
add them?
A second motion to just, yeah.
Add. Right. Okay. Then I'll make a second motion. Sorry about that, guys. To add.
DWC approved. Now go with commissioners. You don't approve commissioners.
Right. Okay. So, so it's web hunt 4481 with mule deer option hunt 1331.
1331.
And
I don't hear head shakes. Is that a yes?
Yes.
Thank you.
And then hunt 4476 with mule deer hunt option 1371. I think that was it, right?
Any others?
No, that was it.
Okay. As written?
As written.
I'll second that.
That's an addition, not an amendment to anything before, right?
Yeah.
Right.
This
okay.
is just an addition.
Motion. Okay. Perfect.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Okay. Thing we're on is going to deer.
Okay. I'm going to just use Mike's sheet again that he gave to you, kind of more of a synopsis of what that whole report does. I could get into different things, but overall, the department is recommending about a 7% decrease in mule deer quotas this year throughout the state. That's primarily due to the larger hunt units in Area 10 and 7 having significant reductions in the modeled population estimates. Further indicators of lower population productivity were observed through aerial survey and hunt questionnaire data for those herds. The 2015 analyst quota recommendations are 16% higher for 2015, largely due to a new doe season in Management Area 7, which was implemented to address declining herd productivity and evidence that this population has exceeded carrying capacity. In other regions, such as the hunt units in 43 through 46 and 151 through 155, the quota recommendations were lowered to reflect past success of density reductions and increased fawn production. Severe drought conditions across much of the state have continued to depress mule deer population productivity, and a commensurate reduction in the hunting quotas was determined to be appropriate. Junior hunt quota recommendations were lowered slightly in some management areas. However, the total number of tags available is expected to be above the total tags sold during 2014. Junior hunters should have ample opportunity to draw a mule deer tag in Nevada this coming year. A statewide management objective of 30 bucks per 100 does was used as the primary guideline for setting buck harvest recommendations, similar to previous years. Once again, just real quick on the local stuff, we've already talked about the severity of the drought. We've seen these hunter success rates decline as this drought has lasted. We continue to see it kind of go down. This year it was so warm and so dry that we saw actually our late season hunter success rates lower than our early season success rates in some instances, and that's just pretty unheard of. And my take on a lot of that is we had 70 degree temperatures in every month during the entire winter, warm temperatures, and only, what is your late season really for? your late season is successful when it's cold and deer are out more and available to hunters and seeing them more in that late season. We all know those early seasons can be kind of tough. But those late seasons, when it's 60s or 50 degree temperatures, those deer are shaded up. They're also turning nocturnal. I've had a lot of those tags in the early season when deer are bedding by 15 minutes after shooting time. And that's what happened this year in pretty much in northwestern Nevada. And we did see some decreasing hunter success rates. So to address that, we are concerned about this drought, the drought conditions. We received, like I mentioned earlier, 0% snowfall in most snowtail site locations throughout the northwestern part of the state, which is unheard of. I don't know if that's a record, but it sure should be. And we're seeing the effects of that with our water availability and lack of water. We're seeing the distribution changes we talked about with some of the antelope herds, the same thing with deer. They have to move off of these summer ranges when they have no water as well. So we're going to be more conservative in 011, where we've seen some decreases in our hunter success rates. We're going to recommend going from last year, 97 tags, down to about 70. 012, oh, never mind. Let me get to the right page. Hold on.
Yeah.
That's a little different than that. It's the 164 tags down to 140. Sorry about that. Let me get on. Okay, here we go. We're recommending in 011 early, 164 tags down to 140. Similar tags in the late season because it is just a smaller portion of the overall quota. The granites did see a slight increase because we do have good buck ratios in there. You know, most of the guys reporting seeing 20 to 30 bucks a day in the granites. Pretty good quality hunt still. Sean saying they're not seeing the size. I've heard some of that. One thing I haven't mentioned is our surveys. One thing I can tell you, the only good thing I really saw this year because of all the drought conditions we're experiencing, one of the things that really stuck out to me is that we have quality bucks, good quality bucks in every single unit I flew this year. And I can't say that I felt that way every year. But this year, it could be related to the lower harvest levels where you're seeing some more, you know, quality bucks on survey. But it really did stick out this year in every single unit that we flew in the fall. And so I was pretty impressed that we're carrying over some good bucks this year. And the quality is certainly there. And I mean, even on the Sheldon where we've really struggled for years, there's some really good bucks still. Not a ton, but I'm just saying it was representative in the sample that we got. Not that the samples were that great in a lot of cases, but the buck quality as far as age and size was pretty impressive. And I look at them all the time. So 42 to 45 in 014 late. 015, we saw a slight decrease from 37 to 35. We're recommending that 3 less tags than 21 from 43 to 40. 22 stayed exactly the same this year. We had static fawn ratios in there. It's been a pretty good quality hunt the last 3 or 4 years. Our hunter success rates have been good. Hunter reports are good. So 022 is right exactly the same at 65 tags. And the Sheldon is where we really have pulled back a little bit on this. Our estimate went from about, I think it came down about 150 animals on the Sheldon. So we're more conservative on the Sheldon, a pretty good drop from 68 tags recommended last year to 45 this year, and 37 tags in the late season last year to 25 this year. So you're seeing in some of these units that we're seeing the effects of drought, and we're more concerned about, we're taking a step back. So that's kind of just our department recommendations.
Okay. Take out the public. Anybody on mule deer? Rex.
Rex Potter speaking on behalf of myself. First, I'd like to commend Chris for taking a step back on his recommendations on quotas. We do have some grave concerns. 2 years ago, it was brought to this board that there were some issues, and none of us saw it at that time. That was brought to us by Todd Jasek, I believe you remember. Having said that, the youth hunters have a higher success rate because they have a lot more help. Youth hunters are getting hit hard this year. In unit 011 through 013, they're losing 18% of their tags. 015, they're losing 52% of their tags. And 033, they're losing 37% of their tags. I would request that this board look to those same units and do the same thing to all the other tags in the any legal weapon, the archery, the muzzleloader, resident, non-resident, and make further reductions from what the department has recommended. If you want figures, I can give you figures.
Yeah, let me see what you had to say.
Okay. In the 1331 hunt, the 011 through 013 early, I would recommend you move to 130 tags from 140. In same unit, late hunt, I would recommend you move to 35 from 40. 015, I would recommend you move to 20 from 35. 033 would remain the same early. 033 late would reduce to 20. In the 1371 muzzleloader, 011 through 013 would be 5 tags. And actually, 033 would move up to 5 from 4. In the archery, 1341 resident, 015 would move down to 4 or 5 tags. In the non-resident hunt of 1331, 015 would move down to 2 tags from 3. And in the non-resident antler 1341, 011 through 013 would move down to 3 tags from 4. That would be my recommendations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else on any of the mule deer? Not saying any. I'll bring it back to the board. Does anybody have any comments? Start, Butch?
No.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea to go with this recommendation. Shop it evenly across the board for 2 years all the way through.
Well, I think we should do more, to be honest with you. So, I spent a lot of time in 013 this year, or 011 through 013 this year. And I know it pretty well, and I was very discouraged. Very discouraged. I didn't see a quarter of the deer that I usually see, and it was pretty scary. So, I mean, right off the bat, I thought we should take a 25% reduction right off of straight across the board on 011 through 013 on every hunt myself. And then the big thing I had was 033. And this unit scares me right now. And one of the, like I said, I spent a lot of time on that unit too. And your guys' last survey, you guys even cut it short because you guys weren't seeing anything. That really makes me nervous for deer. And that's after the horse roundup. The horse roundup was earlier than this. So I would expect you guys have seen some. And with the conditions and from what I saw, for me, I would cut straight across the board. I'd cut 50% off your guys' recommendations. Just on the shelf for straight across the board. Because I think Sheldon is going to be, in the next 2 years, it's going to be a great thing for you guys to see with those ferals removed. I want to see what the water sources come back. I want to see what the vegetation is. But when you guys aren't seeing deer, I can't go with your recommendations when you guys aren't seeing anything in a flight.
Can I address that a little bit?
You bet.
With these conditions that we have, with grass from one end to the other, and no winter, in the spring, we are forced to fly winter ranges to try to find a concentration of animals with such a low, fairly small population. Our mule deer colony study showed us, was really educational on where these deer go on the Sheldon. They go, the badger deer go south, they go into little high rock country to winter. Fish Creek deer go down Hell Creek into Virgin Creek. Your catnip deer go north into the Sage Hen Hills and then over to Big Springs Table on those south slopes. And there's also deer that move into Oregon from both Fish Creek and catnip. So bottom line, what you have in the spring is deer doing this. So you're talking about extremely low densities of deer in the spring. If we don't have those conditions where they're concentrated, and because deer are going south into 012, some deer are going into Oregon straight up Guano Rim and into Oregon that way, and then some are going into Oregon over across Big Springs Table. I picked up a caller 10 miles into Oregon, north of Big Springs, the east side of Big Springs Table. So bottom line, these deer are doing this to us. And this is why Chris has so much trouble in the spring, and probably why I don't have any hair left. These deer are just doing this. And that's really pretty typical of northwestern Nevada, other than your resident deer herds on the Grants. Okay, they're a resident herd, they don't go anywhere. Spring deer surveys are really rough when your deer do this. There's 40 go that way, 30 go this way, 20 go this way, 10 go that way. And that's literally how mule deer in northwestern Nevada winter. So when there's no winter, and there's green up from the bottom of the mountain to the top of the mountain, they are scattered to you know what. When I was flying back to the airport, I was seeing 011, I'll just share that. There were deer just scattered, little teeny groups too. When it's warm, they break down into little family groups of 3, 4, 5, 6. You never find a big group of animals because they're all just, they're out there, it's like springtime to them, or early summer, it's been so warm. So, yes, I made the decision to pull off that survey, but it was based more on, I wasn't going to get a good sample no matter what. After 45 minutes, they're not on their winter range. I flew most of their winter range in that amount of time quickly. And I knew from the previous year I tried something different. I tried, I'm going to out-trick them this year. It's been so mild, there's no winter last year. This is last year. I started on their summer range where I think, okay, they haven't moved much because it's such a mild winter. And our coloring data showed they don't move till mid-December to January 1 to off of their summer range already. Well, that didn't work either because they were somewhere in between. And I finally ended up on their winter range, and I actually found more deer last year on the winter range. This year I said, okay, I'm not doing that again. I'm going to start in the winter range and I'm going to work backwards. Well, I could tell that wasn't working. I have a lot of country to cover, and I knew where I could make the helicopter expenditures that we do make it worth our efforts. And so there are other areas in the state this year, other biologists who made that same call. They didn't even try to fly a lot of different units. And this happened only, I know, 3 or 4 units in the state where they just said, there's no way I'm going to find deer under these conditions. And that's kind of what happened this year. It's never happened to me before, but this was the warmest, driest, zero snow. Horrible conditions for hunters to find deer, horrible conditions for Endow and me to find deer in a helicopter. So that's kind of why I made that decision. It wasn't an easy one. I've never done it. I could have ground out for another hour and a half, 2 hours, and found 30 or 40 deer, but that's not even a representative sample,
yeah,
to get an accurate deal. So I made that decision. I knew I wasn't going to get an accurate sample. So why waste time on the Sheldon, because I know how they distribute themselves into Oregon and 012 and other areas. I made that decision based basically on trying to save a little money for our agency, knowing we weren't going to get a good sample anyway. So that's the justification. That's the real stuff. I understand your concerns. I have those same concerns I have for a lot of years on the Sheldon. That's why we kicked it back pretty significantly, if you'll look, 68 to 45, I don't know what percent that is. It's not 50, but it's pretty good. 36%, I think. So I wasn't too far off of what you did from the previous year's survey. I mean, that quarter. I was very aggressive with bringing that back. But this is that process, so you make any recommendation you like. We always try to, just to end it, and I'll be quiet, but we always come in with a middle-of-the-road approach, just try to still give opportunity, but yet if we're nervous about it, we'll pull it. So that's what these are.
I guess on the show, I'm a little bit more nervous about it than you are.
Than you are, right.
Okay. And because I hunt the fringe. I hunt those places you're talking where you go. And I'm not seeing it. And when I talk to the warden that spends a lot of time up there, your guy's warden, and he's not seeing what he usually sees at night, that even makes me even a little bit more concerned. So, and like I said, I spend a lot of time on the show. And I think being way more conservative than you guys, I think, is a good thing to do. Because, I mean, what I'm looking at is opportunities. Say those deer have moved out, and we got this same dry conditions. Say they stay up in Oregon. You're going to have all these guys that have these tags, and those deer aren't going to be there. They're going to be pissed off at you.
I know.
And I can look at it as I'm kind of reducing that so there'd be less people pissed off at you if that happens, is the way I look at it.
Is that a quote?
Well, I must say, from that respect, I really appreciate it.
So I'm thinking of you, Chris.
Okay. So. Well, thank you, man. I love you, too.
Okay, enough of that.
So, I guess that's why that 033 makes me nervous. And then, like I said, 011 through 013 has always been a thing for me because there is so much private property. And we talked about this because I was curious, and it still concerns me how much private property on there, and if your guys' flights are still counting those deer, that all those private property people that get landowner tags, and they still don't let those landowner tags hunt in their unit. Mm-hmm. I don't see how you can count them, because the resident aren't getting a chance at those deer. So I guess that's another thing.
Right, and I think what I also said in that conversation was that what I know about flying over 49 Mountain for many years is that sometimes they're there and sometimes they're not. Right. And when they show up, there's a lot of deer. One year I remember it was almost 300 deer just on 49 Mountain. And the buck ratio was about 45. I told you I separated the buck ratio out because it is a private land issue. Mm-hmm. And I strictly use, from a buck ratio perspective, what we get on public land. So I can compare my postseason objective going into the hunt, what I'm predicting we'll have after the harvest, to public land areas, right, withstanding what I see on 49 Mountain. Fawn ratios are fawn ratios. You know what I'm saying? That those animals are going to produce at about the same rate on private or public. Not necessarily on alfalfa. We don't usually fly alfalfa, and I don't fly alfalfa. So if you mistook that I fly his fields down below and include those deer, I don't.
It's still private property, so I figure if you're
it is, but that's alfalfa deer. You never leave. The mountain deer leave. That's
if they're half a mile off alfalfa, you're not counting them. I guarantee you they're on alfalfa.
I'm not counting half a mile from his fields.
But where are you counting? Where's your breakout?
You like 49 Mountain, huh?
49er Mountain, or 49ers got a ton of deer on alfalfa.
Yeah, I don't go down to this field, you're right.
Well, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
A mile up, or 2 miles up, I guarantee those deer two
some
miles
of,
are going
some of those down lower in the canyon, they kind of hang on down there pretty good, though. They really do. I fly the top of the mountain and go south into the rest of Hayes Canyon. But I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. So, anybody else have anything? Sorry, guys, I went off a little.
We're careful.
You've been there.
I have. Those are dear to my heart.
I understand.
So, does someone want to make a recommendation?
We did do public comment on this already.
Yeah, we did.
Rex got it. Yeah. We did. Before they got all the sideways stuff. Yeah. Do you have any clue what they were talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have all Rex's?
I wrote down.
I don't have all his.
It's right here.
Everything on that side it is. So if you want to recommend recommendation, go for it.
Who's doing this?
Well, I'm just going to go with what I thought, so I'm going to go, I'm going to read them all on detail, so it'll be the Hunt, and with the exceptions. So first one, make a motion that the resident junior, any legal weapon hunt, 1107, Hunt 1101, Hunt 1180, Hunt 1331, Hunt 1371, Hunt 1341, Hunt 1331, 1371, Hunt 1341, and that's it. With the changes in Hunt 1107, Unit 011, quota from 75 to 56. From 75, sorry.
75.
Yeah, 56 to 75. 75 from 256. Now, same hunt, unit 033, changing 20 to 10. Hunt 1331, changing 011 through 013 early, recommendation from 105, or sorry, from 140 to 105. Thus, still Hunt 1331, Hunt 011 through 013 late, from 40 to 30.
Okay, 01, unit 011.
Through 013 late. From 40 to 30. Then taking 033 early from 45 to 23. 033 late to from 25 to 13. Hunt 1371. 011 through 013.
Take 1371.
The unit was 011 through 013. From 8 to 6. 033 from 4 to 2. Hunt 1341. Unit group 011 through 013. From 30 to 23, and 033 from 10 to 5, and then Hunt 1331, unit group 011 through 013 early, from 10 to 7. 011 through 013 late from 4 to 3. Then 033 early from 4 to 2. And 033 late from 2, and keep it at 2 because that's the minimum you can have. 1371, unit group 011 through 013. Keep that at 2 because that's the minimum they've got. Sorry, 1371, that all stays the same. And then Hunt 1341, unit group 011 through 013, change that from 4 to 3. And in unit 033, that stays the same. That's it. Do I have a second?
I'll second your motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed say nay. Passes 4-0. Surprising. Okay. We got one more.
Black Bear?
Yeah. Mr. Lackey.
Black Bear.
He's here.
Want to talk to him?
You have anything to add about Black Bear?
We're on Black Bear. Last thing.
Only if you guys have questions.
Come on up, girl. Move out of your way. Yeah.
It's Kathy Smith.
Yeah, I'm him first.
Huh?
I want to hear his name first, and if he's got anything to say, I'm going to question.
Okay.
Carl Lackey with Department of Wildlife. Okay. No, just if you have questions.
I guess my question is how the drought's affecting the hunt units for the bears.
At this point, it's hard to say. It's bears are susceptible to climatic conditions, yearly climatic conditions. We're not seeing any indication that it's affecting it. The population is still growing at a slower rate than it was, let's say, 10 years ago, but it's still growing. Recruitment rates are stable. About the only change that we see is in conflicts. When conflicts go up.
That's because of the drought, though?
Yeah. You know, that hard and soft masks later in the summer and later in the fall, when they're not available, it drives more bears into those urban areas, urban wildland interface areas to find food.
And with the drought, the way it has been over the past several years, the fourth year, and the fact that the bears are having more difficulty finding food, as we see from the increased home ranges and, like you were saying, increased conflicts, don't you think that with hounds being used, that can decrease the fitness of the individual bears?
No. No, we have no reason to suspect that or to come to that conclusion, no.
So, it does, when you chase an ungulate, it decreases their fitness, like for the shed antlers and things of that nature?
We have no reason to suspect that with bears. I mean, the literature that's out there on bears says that is not a conclusion, that's not necessarily the case. The small amount that a bear is chased for a few hours, one day out of the entire season, no, there's no reason to believe that that's going to affect their physiology or fat layer or anything else.
Okay. And what about the pine nut crops?
What about them?
As far as the drought?
We're still seeing good pine nut production. I'm not sure when that will cut off. It's hard to say. We're still seeing good pine nut production every year. Last year, a lot of the bears that were killed, primarily in the pine nuts, had very good fat layers. And the hunters that did open the bellies, open the stomachs, were reporting full of pine nuts. So that's a good indication that the pine nut crop is still viable.
Okay. Questions?
Just to add to that, because I did spend some time in the pine nuts this year, and I was on a couple harvests in the pine nuts, and I was very surprised that I was seeing 5-6 inches layers of fat at the end of November. I mean, it was thick. And everyone and I always open them just because I'm curious to see what's in them, you know, plastic bags or whatever. They were just full of pine nuts. I mean, absolutely full of pine nuts. It just amazed me that they could find that many. It was crazy. So I just wanted to second that I saw that actual on hand. So. I'll bring it up to the public if anybody has anything to say.
Department again this year is recommending the same quota as last year. Last year I asked if you would support a recommendation for a larger quota. I'm back to ask that again this year. We have 4 years of hunting now. Last 3 years success has been at 32%. 32% on a harvest objective of 20 bears is 63 tags. If you wanted to be conservative, you could cut that down by 10%, which would still allow us 57 tags. That would allow for 52 tags for residents, 5 tags for non-residents. I truly believe that the quotas that are being set now are more social than anything else. And we've always set quotas based on success rates, and therefore that's why I came up with this. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. Actually, I thought the success was higher than that. Is it 18 out of last year?
Last year was about 40%.
I'm just going off the objective, because that's basically what you're going for, is the objective. So once 20 is going, it shuts it down. So 18 out of, I figured 20 bears.
18 out of 45 tags.
Well, 45 tags, but you still got an objective of 20.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you got two that weren't harvested out of the thing. So they're not meeting, you haven't met the objective yet, is what I'm saying.
Oh, no.
But it's been getting closer every year.
Well, yeah, 14, 11, and then 14, and then 18. So okay. It fluctuates, as you know, depending on snow conditions, and it's really hard to say what it would be.
Yeah. Anybody have anything?
I kind of agree with Rex. I'm all about meeting the harvest objective with the ratios, where they're going to look a little bit better as far as on paper and whatnot. Whether it's right or wrong, I'm not sure, but I think if the department does a social aspect of it and kind of leans the other way for, I don't know how to say it, but I think as far as all sportsmen, we should go with the stats and the harvest objectives and what we're trying to do all the way across the board for all big game. So I would recommend that we increase the quota.
Do you have anything, Butch? Oh, sorry. I'll get back.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No.
Kathy?
Yeah, I do, actually. No, I disagree, just because the population is probably, well, it did go down from last year to this year, according to the numbers that were presented in the big game book. So the population is declining. The population has never been growing nearly as robustly in California as it has been in the state it to be growing in Nevada. So I think the drought, I have an opinion pine is fairly resistant to drought, but I also know that there's a lag of a couple years from what I understand. So I think that the conditions of the pine nets are going to continue to worsen. And I think the more we end up chasing these bears, which can definitely be chased more than once, so we don't know if this is decreasing their fitness. There have been no studies done on this, except for two poorly done ones in the 1980s. So I think that there's definitely a possibility that these bears can be chased more frequently. And I do think, I know we know that there were some people out hunting, saying they were hunting mountain lions at night and they were hunting bears, or they were chasing bears. So that can potentially happen as well. You know, that was reported to be occurring. And although I haven't gotten a call back from the Forest Service, I did find some information on pine nets from some pine nut growers, and they have been discussing how that it's a dying business and a dead one in the near future about as far as the pine nuts go because of the drought. So I think this is a serious concern. and that we should, I mean, I would like to cut back on the quota.
Well, we'll vote on that. I won't. I've seen the bear numbers take off, and I'm catching them when I'm lion hunting, and I've caught some where bears aren't supposed to be bears, and I didn't turn out. So, I mean, they really, you're confining your little thing to the pine nets. You got the Wasatch Range is full of them. You got all the way down are full of them. And there's pine nets. I mean, have you actually been out there to see, or are you just going off of what you just read?
Well, a combination of both.
Well, I spend a lot of time out there, and, you know, so I actually see this stuff, and I'll be honest with you, I couldn't believe how much they were loaded with pine nuts. It just blew my mind. And everywhere I went, there was pine nuts everywhere. So, if it lags 2 years behind, it should have been lagging 2 years behind because we've been in a drought, 4 years already? So we should have already seen that, right?
Right, well.
And I can't say we've seen, I haven't seen that. So, and it's been 4 years, so we should have already seen that heavy. So, but let's put it to a vote if we're done.
I agree with Miles on that, to raise the quota to meet the harvest.
You want to make a recommendation?
I'll just kind of keep in mind, I'll make a recommendation that we, on resident quota, black bear, any legal weapon hunt, 6151, that we raise the quota from 41 to 52. I'll leave it at that. No need for an explanation.
Yeah, I think you have to go with the next one up. You got 10 years then. You have to go down there.
Oh, and I was just doing a resident. Okay, so I'll do both of them at the same time.
Yeah.
And on non-resident quota, black bear, any legal weapon hunt, 6251, raised from 4 to 5.
Got a second?
Down to the second.
Okay. All in favor, say aye.
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 All opposed, say nay.
Nay.
Nay. I said nay. She said nay.
Okay. That's where I got confused. So, Chair Shea and Member Smith are dissenting. Member Stamblin and Humphreys Jr. are assenting. Okay, so you've got a typo. Okay.
So can somebody
no
make
specific
it?
Action? You yes, can make an opposite
that motion.
Motion
fails, yeah, and so we can make anyone another. Else can make another motion that they want.
Make the opposite motion and see if you get the same result.
Or different members or whatever.
I'll make a motion that we keep resident quota at 6151 at 41 and hunt 6251 at 4 with the harvest objective for 6251 at 20. Do I have a second? Not going to fail. So, somebody else want to make a recommendation?
Well, mine won't fly. There's really no point.
Okay, so no specific recommendation.
No specific,
made.
Yeah.
There's no consensus. Okay.
Well, that's it for quotas, I believe. So we can take a 5-minute break if you guys want. But 8:20. Because the rest of the
day. You're on.
Okay. Go to agenda item number 9, Commission General Regulation 456 LCB. File number T00415, Elk Arbitration Panel, proposed changes to NAC 502.42283. I don't know. Where am I here? take out the public if anybody think anything to say on this. I'm not seeing any. I'll bring it back to the board. Did anybody have anything to say about this?
Nope.
Nobody? I'll make a motion that we, is it approve? I want to make sure we get that right. Approve?
No.
We want the commission to approve.
Okay.
We recommend that the commission
approve Commission General Regulation 456 LCB, file number T004-15, the Elk Arbitration Panel proposed changes to NAC 502.42283 is written.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, say nay.
Passes. Your motions are always to recommend that the commission approve whatever it is, with whatever exceptions you suggest.
Okay. I'll be asking you again, though.
Am I ever going to get you turned?
What?
Am I ever going to get you turned?
Agenda item number 10, the draft process for use by the commission in arbitration as described in NAC 502.42283. Anybody from the public? Not seeing it. Come back to the board. Anybody?
I'll make the motion if you want.
Go for it.
Dan will make a motion that the board recommends the Wildlife Commission approve draft process for use by the Commission in arbitration as described in NAC
502.42283. Shay will second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay.
Passes.
Next one is agenda item number 11. The request from Colville Confederated Tribes in Washington for up to 50 pronghorn antelope during the winter of 2015-2016. Public have anything to say on this? All right, comment? Bring it back to the board.
Anybody? I've got a question on who pays for it. The Indians?
Actually, one of you guys want to help us out here?
They help us pay for that, right? Yeah, they pay for it.
Can you make sure you sign that?
Yeah, I'll sign it.
Okay.
Jack Ruff for the record. They're paying for it. We have given antelope in the past to another tribe in Washington. We think we'll have a lot more success with this current request because they seem to be better at what they do. But we're in support of it. That's why it's on your agenda. And they're paying 100%.
I have a couple questions. Why aren't these guys getting antelope that are closer to them? I meant from Oregon or something.
I'm not sure. We haven't asked that question. They've just made a request to us. And okay. You see that we have doe hunts, and we have, when you're doing things like that, you're saying that you have a surplus and they're available, so let's make them available to other people. And we've been a recipient from Washington, Oregon, British Columbia, Saskatchewan, every place for all of our sheep and everything, so it's kind of, we've been lucky to have what we have with elk and everything we have with people giving us stuff, so it's kind of turned out fair play.
Okay. Does anyone want to make a motion?
No. I'll make a motion, Smith, that we recommend that the commission approve a request from the Colville Confederated Tribes in Washington for up to 50 pronghorn antelope during the winter of 2015-16.
10-1 second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Agenda item number 12, Commission General Regulation 457 LCB number T003-15, the wards, issuance, and use of tags, proposed changes to NAC 502.42279. Bring it up to the anybody? Back to the board. Anybody? I'm seeing it. Anybody want to make a recommendation?
I'll make a recommendation that the board recommend to approve Commission General Regulation 457 LCB file number T003-15 awards
insurance and use of tags, proposed changes to NAC 502-42279 as written.
Shay will second that. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay. Passes 4-0. Agenda item number 13. There was no support material, but I talked to Suzanne and I guess Commissioner Drew will give an update on this since we didn't get any recommendation or any support material, so I don't think we can really do anything about this. So it's the Humboldt County Elk Species Management Plan process. So if you got something to say, this.
There is really any support material that goes along with this that we, the commission started the process last time. We've solicited for input and people to put their names forward. We're just gathering those names at this point to submit to the commission this week. So it's in process, so there's really no updates. It's just soliciting different members for that board that's coming up.
Okay. Does the public have anything to say?
Don't have to do anything.
Okay. Yeah, I say we don't do anything just because if it's still in motion, we don't know what's going on at this point. So that was number 13. Go down to number agenda item number 14, fiscal year 2016 draft predation management plan, third draft. I don't know if the state wants to say something about it or just want to hear from the public. I know it's the third draft, so it's pretty good. So I'll take out the public if anybody has anything to say.
Rex Flowers for myself. I would hope that you would approve it since it is 81% of the money's going on the ground. The only question I had in it, but I'm going to ask it at the predator or at the wildlife damage meeting, is the very first expenditure on there is Wildlife Services base operations, $14,000. That's not a project, but it's a cost to the management plan, and I think it should be, there should be an explanation. I mean, are we giving these gentlemen a base wage and then going up over and above that and paying them on each project? That needs to be answered. Thank you.
You have a public comment on?
Yep.
Jerry Lent for the record. Has everybody read the plan?
Yep.
You guys read it? You're familiar with it. One of the things of this board, one of the duties of the board according to 501-297, and is the board shall solicit and evaluate local opinion and advise the commission on matters relating to the management of wildlife within their respective counties. And I wonder if any of you guys know how successful the predator plan in the Granites was, and the increase in deer numbers and the increase in hunter tags that was produced. And I don't think you do, so let me tell you. In the Granites, we had a Project 18, and it ran for 10 years. And you got to look at the benefits we got out of it. They discontinued it a year ago in 2014. The deer numbers went down for the first time in 10 years this year. What does that tell you? That's in accordance with the Big Game Status Report. The Big Game recommend this year in 014 is 224 tags. There was 196 last year tags. So we have an increase in the amount of tags and a decrease in the amount of deer. And you were talking about Sheldon and 0111 and 12 and that, and you voted to decrease. Well, we have another area. We have a decrease in deer, according to their status, and they're increasing the tags. And the reason for that is they're saying the buck-doe ratio is 35. They want to lower it, and their management objective is 30. Well, you know, we used to keep that as sort of like a trophy area, manage it for 40 or 45 bucks like we did to Sheldon. And if you read the, if you listen to a $50,000 deer survey that the Department of Wildlife did, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with it, you should be familiar with it. One of the things asked, what the deer hunters want is they want quality. And if you read that, that would mean they want bigger deer, okay? And so we always managed for 40, and the department never did like it because they said you're robbing people of opportunity. But we picked several areas that we did that. And and they're saying there's 35, but Endow even admits, and you heard it tonight, their survey studies have a great variation, and they don't show the large error rate that can occur in their surveys. So when they say there's a buck-doe ratio now of 35, there's a big error rate in there. I've seen literature saying there's a 50% error rate in some states. So I'm anticipating this herd will decrease, and this increase in tags isn't going to last, folks. And this is a Washoe County. And you guys, there were 44 tags when this project started, Project 18, 11 years ago. Now, they recommend 224. That's a 409% increase. We had that predator project going. And everyone's reaping the benefits of the project, especially Washoe County residents. There's a lot of people in Reno, and look what it does to Gerlach. A lot of people in Reno put in that area because it's so close, and they like to go hunting in there. And I think that this county or this board should recommend start Project 18 up again and expand it. And this board should be looking at it, because if you look at some of the ridiculous ones in here, and you guys rubber stamp it. And, you know, you've got a good project that was going, and I think that you should recommend to continue it. It was a very successful one, and it made a lot of hunters happy, which is what I think this board should do. Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else? Bring it back to the board. Does anybody have anything to say?
No. I do. I was disappointed at the last commission meeting when they took the really the only two non-lethal projects from the predator management plan. And I think it's unfortunate that
which ones do people have? The carry-on things.
What happens to mountain lions that have been trapped?
Okay.
And I forget the project numbers. And there was another one about public education in bears.
Okay.
It was removed. I guess I was just disappointed, too, that we even have to discuss the percent of money going to LEPA programs, because it seems that that's a strong focus, and that's kind of unfortunate. I think that we can do a lot more probably by increasing or improving habitat than we can by killing more predators. Because just because a mountain lion, a bear, or a coyote is dead does not mean you're going to have a compensatory increase in an ungulate. And I think that's kind of a very simplistic way to look at a predator-prey relationship. And we're really underestimating the poor habitat secondary to the drought. So, I mean, that's just kind of my thinking on it. I was just disappointed that those two projects were taken out.
I have to agree with you on habitat. I mean, that's habitat's number one.
Yes, habitat's number one.
It really is. And I think it's that, you know, that comes back to BLM and everybody getting together on that. And so, but I agree with you on the habitat. But, do you have anything? Well, does someone want to make a motion on this? I'll make a motion that we recommend to the commission they approve fiscal year 2016 draft predation management plan, third draft as written.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed say nay.
Nay.
Going to agenda item number 15. Washoe County Advisory Board to manage wildlife members and or staff announcement requests for information and selection of topics for future agendas. You have anything?
I have nothing.
Okay. Well, for the next meeting, I think I might try and get either law enforcement or a biologist to give us an update. I know you guys put out a little sheet that says some of the things you guys have been doing, and I don't think you guys are giving enough credit, the law enforcement division. So I think it'd be nice for people to see some of the stuff you guys are doing. So I'm either going to talk to you, it'll be this one or the next one, or I'm going to talk to one of the biologists for like non-game species, so information, you know, update on like bats or something like that. Just so something everybody gets to see something different than other than game, you know. So I'll be coming at you either for this next one or the next meeting. So, because I think it's important because you guys don't get enough credit, and I think I'll show the good stuff you guys do.
Okay.
Anybody else? Anything else? Okay. Going to item number 16, public comment. If anybody has anything they'd like to share, please come up and.
Jerry, not for the record. I had a question. I'd like to get a copy of that Cox explanation letter for big game hunts, and I don't know if that was on the internet. Could I get a copy of that?
I'll give you a copy. Oh, that one right.
And the other thing I had is you were asking a question why you weren't having attendance here. Well, you know, these meetings are boring, and I don't know why we need a cab if the board is always just going to rubber stamp the department. It's a waste of time for the cabs. Thank you.
Anybody else? Rex?
Rex Flower speaking for myself. Next Thursday, you had mentioned there's going to be two committee meetings. One of them is Heritage. I would suggest you guys may want to look at that. Go see that if you can. There are two projects on there that will take place in Washoe County if it's approved. One is habitat improvement, and another one has to do with late broods on sage grouse, effect of horses on their riparian areas. And both of those are very near and dear to many of the sportsmen in this area. And as you know, we generally get cut on our heritage programs, so you may want to go and see how much is being asked for, and hopefully you'll support them at 100%. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, not seeing any. We're done. Thanks for everybody that did.